We're in the chat. We're in 1 Samuel 23. This is an interesting chapter. I've been thinking about this chapter for a while, and it's a chapter of people's reactions to situations. We have a whole bunch, several situations that are presented in this chapter, and it's people's reactions to those situations. Last time we had Ahimelech came to David because his family was killed by Doeg the Edomite, and David told Ahimelech to stay with him because Saul, who was seeking his life, was seeking David's life, so he would be safe with David. But we also have a summary verse down in verse 6. And Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, came to David, and he came down with his ephod, with an ephod in his hand. So Abiathar came in chapter 22, but he also is summarized in chapter 23, but he came with the ephod, which is an interesting thing. We'll deal with that in a little bit. But David is down in Keilah, and David was told, behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floor. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go down and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah. And David's men said to him, behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we go against Keilah, against the ranks of the Philistines? And David inquired of the Lord once more, and the Lord told him, arise and go down to Keilah, for I'll give the Philistines into your hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought against the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. So here we have the first incident. The Philistines were always causing trouble for the Israelites. It seems like the Philistines and the Israelites, that because they were right next to each other, and the Philistines were right on the coast, and they wanted to work their way inland a little bit, they were always sending out these raiding parties against the Israelites. And so there was this town, Keilah, and apparently was the time of harvest, and so that's a good time to go against your enemies and get some free food. So the Philistines went, and they were threshing their grain, and so the Philistines came and started plundering the threshing floors. Now, if you remember, when David Moldenhauer, he gives those little maps, you know, they're abstract maps. And if you have the one, any one, you'll notice that David stayed down in the south of Israel, down by the Dead Sea. He never ventured out of basically out of the land of Judah, that area. And this little town, this town of Keilah, is not a little town, it's a walled city. But it's right over next to not too far from the Philistine border. But it's down in the land of Judah. And so, David has gathered these, chapter 22, it's at 400 men. David had 400 men with him, and now in this chapter it's 600 men. So David is gathering these people that are discontented and that are not happy with Saul. He's gathering them together, and so he's got this little army of 600 men. And so he inquires of the Lord, which is an interesting trait. Seems like David is always inquiring of the Lord. I don't think we ever hear much of Saul inquiring of the Lord when Saul does something. Saul just goes ahead and does it. But here we have David inquiring of the Lord. How did he do it? Well, verse 6 says, Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, came to David, and he came with the ephod in his hand. Now, if you understand what the ephod is, the ephod's like a breastplate. It's a cloth that the high priest wore, and in the ephod was the Urim and Thummim. We're not exactly sure what Urim and Thummim are. Some think that they're two colored stones. One black, one white. And the priest would reach in and grab one, and one would be a yes answer and one would be a no answer. So he'd ask a yes or no answer. And then the priest would reach in and grab, and that would be the answer that God was given, whichever stone came out. Some think it was a supernatural thing that came. We're not sure exactly what Urim and Thummim are, but I believe that this is a reference here in verse 6 to the fact that he brought down Urim and Thummim. So David had a means of getting the answer from God because Abiathar came and was with David. So David inquires of the Lord, which is an interesting thing. He prays and asks God for an answer. And the Lord said, let's go, get going, you can attack and deliver the city. But David's men said, we are afraid here in Judah. That's interesting. Judah is David's tribe. David's familiar with the people of Judah, but yet several times the people of Judah they seem to want to betray David. They don't really side with David. And David's men are aware of this, and they said, we are afraid here in Judah. So we don't want to go down and fight because we're afraid. How much more than if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines? So David inquires of the Lord again. And the Lord says, go, for I'll deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David and his men went, and they defeated the Philistines. And he delivered the people of Keilah. So you would think they would be happy that he did that for them, wouldn't you? You would think that the people there would be grateful that David came down and delivered them from the Philistines. So verse 7, it says, when it was told Saul that David had came to Saul said, God has delivered him into my hands, for he has shut himself by entering a city with double gates and bars. So Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. And David said, O God of Israel, thy servant has heard that certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. And he asked the question, will the men of Keilah surrender me into their hands? Which is an interesting reaction to David's delivering them. And will Saul come down just as thy servant heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, Saul will come down. So did Saul inquire of the Lord? No, he just decided, as they say, he was hell-bent on killing David. So Saul's on his way with the whole army. Saul wasn't content on just bringing his standing army of about 3,000 men. He had to call all the people together. He had to get a general mobilization. So I don't know how many tens or hundreds of thousands of people that Saul had at his disposal in the army. Now going into the land, when they first went in, they exited Egypt, they had over 600,000 men armed for war. I just got through reading in Numbers. And when Moses came out of Egypt, they numbered the people and there was about 630,000 over 20 years old. And just before they went into the land, he numbered them again and there was a little over 600,000 armed for war. That's a big army. Again, 600 men, I tell you, that's a big army. So I don't know how many men Saul had, but he summoned all the people for war to go down against David. Saul was really obsessed. Saul had it bad. His anger was just bad. So again, David says, bring the ephod here. And he inquires of the Lord, will Saul come down? Yeah. Will the people of the city deliver me into his hand? Yeah, they will. I don't understand it. People. How ungrateful. So David and about 600 men arose and departed and went whatever they could go. And when Saul heard that David had escaped, he gave up his pursuit. So here we have David escapes. God has protecting David from, the Lord is protecting David from Saul. So David's on the run. And it says in verse 14 that David stayed in the wilderness and in the strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hands. So here we have Saul's relentless pursuit. He gave David no quarter. He gave David no rest. And so in verse 15 it says, when David became aware that Saul came out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. So here David is wandering around in the wilderness down there in the southern part of Israel, in this wilderness of Judah. And Jonathan, verse 16, and Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh. It's interesting, Saul couldn't find David, but Jonathan could. Saul couldn't catch up with him, but Jonathan could. I don't know what that tells you of Jonathan and his skill, but they allow Jonathan to come into the camp. So Jonathan comes, and he's encouraging him. And it's interesting what Jonathan says. And he said to him, do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. My dad's not going to find you. He's not going to get you. And Jonathan says, and you will be king over Israel. So now Jonathan knows that David's been anointed king. Jonathan knows that fact, but Jonathan is the successor to Saul, which is interesting how Jonathan has reacted to the news. Saul's out to kill David, but Jonathan says, I'm the next in line, legally I'm the next in line, but no, you're going to be king. God has anointed you. So I'm going to step back from my rightful position as quote unquote heir to the throne, and you're going to be king, and I'm going to sit next to you. I'm not going to contest the fact that you're going to be king. And it's interesting, Jonathan says, and Saul, my father, knows that also. So for whatever reason, Saul has learned now, and we don't know exactly when, but Saul has learned that David has been anointed king. Remember back when David killed Goliath, and the ladies were singing, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s, and Saul says, what more can he have but the kingdom? And we don't know if Saul knew that David had been anointed at that point. And we don't know exactly how long it's been since that point to this point. We don't know the chronology. We don't know the time frame. But apparently it's become general knowledge that David has been anointed by Samuel to be king, to be the next king of Israel. So Saul really is out to get him. But Jonathan finds David at Horesh, and he encourages him by saying, well, don't worry about it. God's going to deliver you. My dad knows it. I know it. But you're going to be king, and I'm going to sit next to you. We're going to be friends, and you're going to rule. And the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Why did Jonathan go home? Why didn't he stay with David? We don't know. We don't know why. Was it because he was loyal to his dad? Could be. We don't read of Jonathan, going out with Saul on these, manhunts for David. Jonathan went to his house. He went home. He didn't go back to his dad. He didn't go out on the manhunt. He went home. Why didn't he stay with David? I don't know. Don't know. So here we have the people of Keilah who are ungrateful. We have Saul or Jonathan that is encouraging to David. And now we come up to the Ziphites. David is in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And the Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah saying, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakaliah, which is south of Jeshimon? Now then, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul, and do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand. And Saul said, may you be blessed of the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Now take, go and make sure, more sure, and investigate and see his place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there, for I am told he is very cunning. That's an understatement. David was a shepherd in this area. If there's anything a shepherd knows, it's the hill country. It's the country. David knows how to survive in the wilderness. He lived out there for months at a time with the sheep. He knew how to survive. And so he's down in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul says, go look and learn about all the hiding places and where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come about that if he is in the land, that I will search out him out among all the thousands of Judah. Boy, Saul has really got it bad. He's really out to get him. Saul will hunt him down no matter where he hides, among any place in Judah. So they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. And when Saul went and his men went to seek him, they told David, and he came down to the rock and stayed in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David into the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were surrounding David. So you can just see him, you know, you have this mountain between, and Saul going one way and David going the other way. You know, one going one way and a mountain in between. But Saul had a lot more men, and apparently Saul's men were about to surround David. If I was Saul, I would have left some in the back, and I would have gone this way and, you know, shot him into a trap. So here we have the Ziphites betraying David. And they're from Judah. They're David's kin. I don't know what David did to get these people angry at him. Or what Saul promised them, I don't know, but these people didn't like David for some reason. So here we have the people of Keilah who were ungrateful. And we have Jonathan who was encouraging. And we have the Ziphites who were treacherous. And so they want to betray David to Saul. So here Saul's closing in on David, but then the Lord delivers David through the Philistines. And a messenger came to Saul saying, hurry and come down, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land. And so Saul returned from pursuing David to meet the Philistines. So David escapes from Saul. And therefore they called the place the Rock of Escape. They always name places. They always name things. It's interesting, you know. The Israelites are always naming, you know. Ebenezer, the Lord helps, the Rock of Escape. It's good to name things during, you know, it's good to remember. It's good to remember things. So they named this rock the Rock of Escape. So every time they look at that rock, they see, well, the Lord delivered David. Have you ever thought back on how the Lord has worked in your life? How the Lord has delivered you, how the Lord has provided for you? Have you wrote things down? Sometimes it's good to write things down. We are prone to forget. We are forgetful people. Hence, we have every Lord's Day, what it says on the table, this do in remembrance of me. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes because we are forgetful people. I don't understand how some churches can do it once a month, once every 3 months, once every 6 months, once every year. I don't understand how they can remember, things and do it so Not often. It's good to remember how the Lord has blessed you. It's good to think back on how the Lord has done things. So therefore they called the place the Rock of Escape. And it says here in the last verse, David went up there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Now if you've seen pictures of En-Gedi, that's a rough place. It's right next to the Dead Sea. It's a very, very desolate place. A lot of caves there. A lot of good hiding places there in En-Gedi. So David went up and stayed in En-Gedi, and there we leave him. So that's chapter 24. So what kind of person are you? What kind of person? Are you an ungrateful person like the people of Keilah? Are we ungrateful? Does the Lord do something for us? Does the Lord work in our lives? Does the Lord do things for us, but yet we're ungrateful? Has the Lord worked in your life and you haven't thanked him for it? Maybe you don't realize how the Lord's working in your life. Has the Lord protected you? I remember this was years ago. I was with my family on the east, we were visiting some friends on the east side of Detroit, and it was New Year's Eve. And we lived on the west side of Detroit. And we had left them. We're coming up on the freeway. And you know the freeways in Detroit. I don't know if you know them. They're ditches. Literally, they're ditches. They got walls straight up and down on each side. When you go through the city, there's concrete walls on both sides. My mother was driving. It was pretty heavy traffic because it was New Year's Eve. It was icy. It was snowy. And we were coming up the John Lodge Freeway. And my mom all of a sudden realized that, oh, there's our exit. And so she goes to go from the center lane to the right lane to get on the exit. And she hit a patch of ice. And we did a 360 degrees. We missed our exit. Car went and landed 6 inches from the wall. And we heard behind us crunch. And we looked ahead of us and there was a crunch ahead of us because the traffic had stopped. But we were there, no damage. I think an angel put their hand right there, you know. It'll stop you. The Lord protects. Maybe not as dramatic as that, but the Lord does protect. You know, you hear stories of missionaries, you know, about these invisible people that protect them during times of trouble. How the enemy has come up to the house and the missionaries say, well, why didn't you attack? And they said, well, there was an army in front by the house, guarding the house. And the missionary looked out and there was nobody there. But yet the enemy saw that the Lord had protected them. It's like Elisha, you know, saw the chariots around the city of Dothan. And he said to the servant, oh, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the chariots of fire protecting Elisha. We have guardian angels protecting us, but are we grateful to the Lord for his protection? Or are we ungrateful? Or are we like Abathar who comes down and he brings with him the means of determining God's will for David? He brings with him the ephod. He thought, David's going to need help. I'm going down to David. He's going to need help. So he brings the ephod with him. Saul doesn't need it. Saul doesn't use it. He killed all my family. He killed the priests. He killed 80 priests. Wiped out the city, their families, 80 people and their families. Wiped out the city. He doesn't care about God and his will. So Abathar thought ahead and brought down the ephod to David. David used it. Are we like Abathar? We think ahead. Do we plan ahead? Are we like David? Who inquires of the Lord? Are you planning on doing something? Well, Lord, what's your will in this? How do I go about doing this? Are we like David who inquires of the Lord? He made it a habit. And when he didn't inquire of the Lord, he got in trouble. You know, he didn't inquire of the Lord with Bathsheba. He got in trouble. When David inquired of the Lord answered him. Are we like that? Or are we like Saul who just goes and just bounds ahead and does whatever we want? What kind of person are you? Or are we like the Ziphites? The treacherous Ziphites. David didn't do anything to them, but yet they were willing to betray him for no reason. We don't know of any reason why the Ziphites sided with Saul against David. We don't know why, but yet they did. They not only sided with Saul by bringing him information, but they also went with Saul to fight David. They were active in their opposition to David. But yet David put his trust in the Lord when the push came to shove, the Lord delivered David. This has been a chapter of interesting people that have reacted differently to the Lord's working. I know it's early, but I'm done. So when you say what you're going to say and you're done. So what kind of person are you? Think about it. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, Lord. We just pray, Lord, as we think about these different incidents in this chapter, Lord, and the different people and how they've reacted to David and his plight. We pray, Lord, that we won't be like the Ziphites or like the people of Keilah or like Saul, that we look to you, put our faith and trust in you, and that look to you for direction, look to you for answers, that we might put our faith and trust in you, and that way we might remember, Lord, all that you've done for us. Like David, as they named the rock of escape, how the Lord had delivered him from the hand of Saul. Help us, Lord, to be grateful to you for all that you do for us. We pray as we depart from here, Lord, that you'll take us to our home safely. Bring us back again this evening. Be with our brother Mike as he brings the message this evening. For we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.